We're going to turn to God's word now, and we're going to read from Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 through to verse 44. That's page 1000 in your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Good evening, everyone. Shall we pray as we begin? Heavenly Father, please give us receptive hearts to receive your word tonight and to give us a bigger vision and more certainty about Jesus' return. In his name we pray. Amen.
Now, my three-year-old son, he gets very excited sometimes about the case of when things might happen. And in this case, it is when his birthday will happen. That is super, super important to him. You can always hear him asking the question, when is it my birthday, Daddy? And for the record, it's in October. Now, this may start in January, February time, and he's saying, when's my birthday? And we'll say, it's still the same. It's still October the 17th. And then the following day or the following week, he'll say, well, is it my birthday now? And we'll say, no, it's still the same. It's still October, still the 17th of October. And then eventually we'll get to October, and then he's turned three now. Very exciting day, full of excitement. So he's three. And then the very next day, you can imagine him saying it. He does say it indeed. Well, when will it be my birthday again, Daddy? And you see, these things about knowing when, we can get very excited about when something might take place. It could be something we're looking forward to, like a birthday, a holiday. It could be something like even Christmas. Now we're in the season of Advent. And as we get into today's passage tonight, Jesus is tackling that question of when. Not when Jesus' birthday will be. We all know that's Christmas Day, after all. But when will he return? So the first question to ask is, when will Jesus return? And that's kind of the strap line for tonight. It's the overarching heading. When will Jesus return? So I know when Albie's birthday will be. It's a date in the calendar. We can put a circle around it on the 17th of November. October. Dear, oh dear. I'm struggling here already with his birthday. It's definitely October the 17th. We can even count down the days to that day because it's in the calendar. We know when it's coming. And the big difference with Jesus' return is, as we'll see tonight, that we do not know the day. And clearly, I don't know my son's birthday either. But this section in Matthew's gospel starts with the disciples asking questions of Jesus, which the rest of this chapter unpacks. One of which is that when question from the disciples. It's back in verse 3 of chapter 24, and it goes like this. When will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming, and of the close of the age? The second half of that question has largely been covered by our preachers in the last few weeks, looking at the signs of his return, the circumstances surrounding it, and the close of the age, his return. And tonight's passage, he turns to that question of when will all this happen? And how should we behave in light of it? So let's get into verse 36 and see how Jesus talks about the timing of this great event of his return. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. This may surprise us somewhat. It certainly does for me, to think that the hour is so hidden, so secret, so concealed, so unknown, that not even Jesus himself knows it. Considering he is the Son of God and the one who will return on that day in judgment, it's even more surprising that he doesn't know the day or the hour. But there is explanation for that. So one commentator I read puts it really helpfully when he says the conditions of Jesus' incarnation meant his laying aside his full divine foreknowledge. I'll say that again. The conditions of Jesus' incarnation, coming to earth as a man, meant his laying aside his full divine foreknowledge. And so that means that any attempt for us to try and second guess the date either is misguided and a total waste of time. Many, many people have tried down the years to try and set a date in the calendar for Jesus's return in the same way we can for my son's birthday. Many have tried. All, in my knowledge, have failed. None have guessed that right. Because not even Jesus knows that day, only the Father. So it's clear that it's God the Father who is orchestrating things, and his plans are designed and known to him, and only to him, for which I think we can also take comfort. After all, God is God, and I am not. Jesus then moves on to tell two short stories to help shed some more light on this question. Let's look first at this kind of mini parable in verse 37, under the first heading, Jesus' return will be unexpected. Jesus' return will be unexpected. So from verse 37, for as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus first contrasts his future return with the situation confronting Noah back in Genesis in the Old Testament. Noah, the man who built an ark as a refuge for all animal and humankind to rescue them from a devastating flood, which would, as it says in Genesis chapter 6, destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, apart from that which Noah rescued in his ark. God sent that flood, that devastating flood, as his verdict on the sinful state of mankind. And as that flood came upon the world, you can see here that it was completely unexpected. People were just going about their normal daily lives, eating, drinking, getting married, right up until the very second that flood came. And like a tidal wave, it just swept everything away, giving no time whatsoever to prepare. It reminds me of some of those accounts you may recall. It's 20 years ago now, of that devastating Boxing Day tsunami which struck Southeast Asia on Boxing Day 2004, and the way in which the sea went out and out and out and out, way, way more than ever would be expected, until suddenly that catastrophic, tragic tsunami wave just piled in and inundated and overwhelmed the low-lying coastal areas, giving people no time to prepare. So with Jesus' return, so unexpected that there's no time to prepare once it's upon you. And crucially, no second chances either. Because by the time it happens, it's already too late. The message to his disciples then, and us, would be clear. Get your house in order now. Be right with God now, today, or else it may be too late because you don't know when that day will come. It's no good anyone saying on that day of Jesus' return, oh yes, I never really got around to thinking about that. I was going to do it next week or next month or next year. Or I'll wait until I'm on my deathbed to turn to God. But it could be too late. One day, life is normal. The next, face to face with Jesus. And it's too late to repent at that point. So let us never be found in that category of saying, I never saw that coming. There is no excuse for Jesus' hearers or us today to have that excuse, because we have heard and we do know it's coming. He will come suddenly, unexpectedly. So let's be ready today. And then going on to the second short story which Jesus tells, about which I've summarized under our second heading, as Jesus' return will be sudden and divisive. Jesus' return will be sudden and divisive. And looking here from verse 40. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Here we see through this story that Jesus' return will be very sudden. People will be going about their work, and suddenly, at the last day, at the close of the age, a dividing line will be drawn. Some are taken up in judgment, some are left behind. The return of Jesus has consequences for people, and they will not be felt evenly. They will not be felt evenly because it's sudden, but also divisive. That's what we've come to learn in other parts of the Bible too, that along with Jesus' return comes judgment, and our experience of his judgment will differ massively. It's quite binary. It's binary as one person taken and one left behind. Because when it comes to judgment, it is all or nothing. We're either on the right side of it with Jesus or we're not. Because God meets sin and mankind's rebellion with his settled, just anger. It's what we all deserve when we think of ourselves, even if we think of ourselves as a good person. But if we're trusting in Jesus for our salvation, that punishment falls on him so that we don't have to face it. But if we're not, we'll have to face that punishment head on, which is not a place we want to be or should ever want to be even. I'm sure some people have joked to you before, oh, it'll be better in hell because all my mates will be there. We really shouldn't joke about that, because surely that's the wrong approach. Why even go down that path when Jesus provides a better way to not face that judgment from God the Father head on? So this would encourage, hopefully, the disciples who are hearing this to keep on going, keep on persevering, keep on running the race of the Christian life with endurance, so they aren't found lacking on that day when Jesus returns to judge. Although Jesus doesn't help his disciples with the exact date of when, as we've established, he does, though, help with the what. You don't know when, but here's what you can be doing in the meantime. And I'd suggest there is something important for us to take away from that, too. I'll cover that in the final point, which goes like this. Therefore, stay awake. Stay awake. Looking back down now at verse 42 in the Bible. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The message, therefore, is clear. Stay awake. Stay alert. Using this analogy, if the master had known when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake to defend his property. But you don't know when the thief will strike, so stay alert at all times. And as with Jesus, the Son of Man, he is coming in an hour we don't expect, so stay alert, stay awake, don't get caught napping when the time comes. This can be applied to other situations too. Think of the soldier on sentry duty, standing out at watch at night. If that soldier fails to stay alert and stay awake when the enemy attacks, then he is not only endangering his own life, but the life of all the troops surrounding him as well. All of his fellow soldiers are actually in danger. So it's absolutely vital for him to stay awake and stay alert and warn of the coming danger. With Jesus coming back, we don't know when it will happen. The soldier doesn't know when the enemy will attack. So we must stay alert, be vigilant, be watchful. We already know that his return will bring judgment and that dividing line, and we don't want to be on the wrong side of that. It's simply too high a price to pay. Therefore, a careful watchfulness is necessary at all times. All of which, I think, begs the question, certainly does for me anyway, what does it mean to stay awake in the Christian life? To stay alert? What does it look like to be ready and waiting for his return? Well, I've thought of a few things that being awake and alert would probably mean being switched on to Jesus, having a diligent, vigilant, watchful Christian life where we keep watch of our own conduct while holding on loosely to the things of this life. Because if Jesus really can return at any time, then we don't want to be found in that position of saying, I wish I'd done something about it sooner. That would be tragic. And needlessly so, because it's avoidable. If you're someone here who is still thinking about Christian things, by what it means, whether it's something for you, that's great. And I would also say to you, please don't delay looking into it either. Let's not put it off, because we all know we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And if we are trusting in Jesus, what can we do to stay awake? I already said it's watchfulness and simply to keep going and persevering in the Christian life, I'd say. Keep trusting, keep meeting together, keep praying, keep listening to God's word in the Bible, keep repenting, keep on walking with Jesus every day. We all go through seasons where we have ups and downs in the Christian life. Some days we're feeling it's easier or more difficult, closer or further from Jesus. But doing these things, those acts of the spiritual Christian life, will help us to stay alert and stop us from snoozing into slumber and falling asleep and therefore missing out when Jesus returns. So let's keep on persevering with Jesus so that we don't hit that snooze button. It's like when you're really tired but need to stay awake for something. And apart from coffee to help, you need a focus for your efforts. If I need to stay awake to pick up my wife from the hospital or get an essay finished or to watch the general election results come in. Yeah, that last one is sad, it's true. We need an aim. We need a focus for our attention. And in the Christian life, the aim, the focus is Jesus and his return. I know it's hard because that deadline we're working on, that essay to be finished, that thing that's happening right now can seem very much more important and present in our current field of vision. So I know why it's easy to keep focused on the very narrow things in front of us. I do it too. But we shouldn't think of Jesus and his return in the same way. It's much bigger than that. It's much more important. And the whole Gospel of Matthew even shows us that our concern should be more for Jesus' kingdom than for this present one. Living each day as if it's our last. Not in that kind of hedonistic sense of being thrill seekers or trying to maximize our pleasure, but living each day as if it's our last, because we sit light to the things of this world, because we don't know when Jesus will come back and take away and sweep away everything in this world as he gets reborn into a new heaven and a new earth. Thinking this way, I hope, means our concerns can start to gravitate away from the immediacy, the material, the temporal in front of us, and towards the immaterial and eternal. Our focus might shift to making disciples of all nations as opposed to winning friends and influencing people here on earth. Or we might start to view our money, our jobs, differently, knowing that these too are given by God and they don't last forever. As the old saying goes, with money and possessions, you can't take them with you. For me, I think this actually involves setting aside time to keep focused and alert on Jesus' return. When we're sitting at work or at home or at school tomorrow, we can start to reorient our thinking towards that eternity which Jesus offers. Let that consume our vision rather than the immediate deadline in front of us. At least just to try and start thinking that way. Because that vision of the future reality is much better, bigger, and even more certain than that essay deadline. Anything the world can offer. So I'm going to try and bring it back to the beginning again, where the disciples were keen to nail down that answer to the question of when. If you recall, right at the beginning, they wanted to know when. Now, that question of when is very important. For my son, it's very important to know when his birthday is. But I hope this has helped us to see the exact question of when is much less important than that it will definitely happen, and asking what we can do to get ready for that day. And there is one thing I can definitely say for certain about Jesus' return, that tomorrow it will be closer than it is today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that Jesus' return is indeed nearer tomorrow than it is today. Help us to keep our eyes and our vision fixed on the Lord Jesus, knowing that the future that he brings in, that eternity with him in a new heaven and a new earth, is far better and far greater than anything this world can offer. Help to fill our vision with that today and each day. In his name we pray. Amen.